Hey, Julian, listen to this. The bosses at Cambridge 105 Radio, they're giving us an extra 30 minutes.
Lucy, I've always liked them.
That means there's more time for community interviews.
And more about local entertainment and theatre.
And there's more time for requests on Jukebox Friday.
Join us for Cambridge Breakfast, weekdays on Cambridge 105 Radio, from 7 to 9.
30.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
We've had an offer to resign from the Prime Minister. Lots of votes by MPs, but still no Brexit consensus. Last night, the Commons rejected 8 possible next steps for the withdrawal process. Not one of them got a majority. We'll get the thoughts now of Cambridge MP Daniel Zeichner. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, Julian.
Were we being too optimistic to think that one of the 8 votes could possibly gain approval here?
Well, it's been a complicated process, and I think what people perhaps didn't fully appreciate is I don't think anyone expected a majority to emerge yesterday. It's a 2-stage process coming back again on Monday, and the idea yesterday was to get a first indication of where people's thoughts were. I mean, I said this in the chamber, it's extraordinary, isn't it, that we've had 2 years, people have known the March 29th date for a long time, and March the 27th, is the day when there was actually the first open debate on the issues in the chamber. So it's hardly surprising that in 1 day we didn't get right to achieving a consensus. What's interesting, I think, is that both the top two options, the final vote, people's vote option, and the customs union, both got more votes than Mrs. May's deal have got so far.
And by some distance, I think, as well. Yeah, by some distance on a couple of them. There was, I guess, Margaret Beckett's one for the people's vote was rather interesting, as was the Kenneth Clark's customs union proposal. On Monday, you're kind of going through, I think, a fairly similar process again. What happens? Are some of the other ones going to be put to one side in the hope that MPs can rally around one or both of these two options?
Well, I'm not entirely clear, like many people, on how that part of the process is going to work, but pretty much that's my understanding. I was never entirely convinced that indicative votes would actually produce an outcome, and what I said in the chamber yesterday was my sense is that for a lot of people who voted leave, some of these intermediate options wouldn't feel like leaving the European Union. In exactly the same way, for the nearly astonishing number, the almost 6 million people who have signed an online petition in the last week or so, including, astonishingly, over 27,000 in Cambridge, that they actually want to stay in the European Union, which is why I conclude that the best way of resolving this is to do as Margaret Beckett suggested, which is to give the people the final say, because these are two very different views of how we go forward.
There's been a lot of rubbishing, I've noticed, of that petition over the past few days or so, even in PMQs yesterday. I forget who actually asked the question of the Prime Minister, but the question was, you can guess which side of the argument they were on, but it was something along the lines of, you know, how can we stop these foreign bots from putting in false representations on petitions. Nobody's worried about it up to now.
Well, I made that point again in my speech in the chamber yesterday. I'm a member of the petitions committee, and we had a very detailed report from the people who run the IT system on the measures that are taken to stop that kind of thing. As I said, it's clear that there are Russian bots all over parts of the Leave campaign in the referendum, but I think we're pretty confident that everything that can possibly be done to stop that kind of thing is in place for the parliamentary petition side. And there's always opportunities for small amounts. We think it's possible about 1% might have been gamed in one way or another. But you can't get away from the fact that huge numbers of people have taken the time, trouble and effort, just like huge numbers of people took the time and effort to come to London last weekend. I thought it was very disappointing that it was a planted question at Prime Minister's questions, very clearly. And for the government to be somehow suggesting that there is not strong feeling for revoking Article 50. It's just a part, I think, of a wider sense of denial, which has led, of course, to Mrs. May's demise, because she's now clearly going to be going fairly soon.
I mean, I feel like we're sort of living in some kind of weird Brexit backwards land. Like, the PM, if she wins and gets her deal approved, she'll leave. If she loses, she says she'll stay. Like, what on earth is that about? What does her sort of her decision to offer that achieve, like, from her point of view?
I couldn't possibly get into Mrs. May's head, I'm afraid. I entirely agree with you. In fact, in many ways, it seems to me to make it worse.
Absolutely.
What she is suggesting is that if you're finally rid of me, that somehow that makes it okay. I think it makes it much worse and much less attractive in many ways, because what she's really saying is... because her deal is no such thing. It's a two-stage process. It's we're out, and then the difficult negotiation begins. So what she's saying to the hardline Brexiteers is, get us out to start with, and then you can take over and negotiate a really, really hard Brexit. Well, and that's so not in the interests of the country. It's so completely contrary to what Parliament was trying to do yesterday, which I thought was a much more impressive and genuine attempt to talk about the real options that face us, because the truth is, you can't leave the world, and that's what some of the extreme Brexiteers seem to want to do. They seem to imagine that the whole world will just revolve around us and do what we want in the future. It won't. So whether we're in the EU or whether we're out of the EU having lots of complicated trade negotiations, you have to come to agreements with your neighbours. And actually, the European Union is a very, very good forum for all these complicated trade-offs, which is why I don't think there is any better option available for us at the moment than to stay.
Do you think it's beginning to be realised that it's taken us, well, the best part of 40 years to, if you like, get the influence of the EU and the various rules and regulations, which we continue to do? There's the, you might have heard on the news yesterday, something we reported about new regulations regarding speed limits being built in the cars. A European regulation, and it seems we're going to sign up for it if we're in or out. And if it's taken 40 years to get that way, it's going to surely take another 40 years to reverse it.
Well, not only that, Julian, but it's a perfect example. Motor manufacturers are not going to make different work to different rules for us. So in the future, what will happen is, if we're not in the European Union, these rules and changes will be made. We'll have no say, but we'll have to adopt them. So this is the sense of unreality, I think, there is amongst some of the Brexiteers. They somehow imagine that we could be sovereign. We could be, but we'll be incredibly poorer as a consequence, because we would have to extricate ourselves from all these interconnected systems. What I do think is that through this whole process of debate over the last 3 years, I hope that people have begun to understand a little bit more about how the world actually works, rather than the fantasies that were presented in 2016, which is why I think another vote would be very different, because I think the wider public know more. It has to be said that people in Parliament know much more as well.
Do you think we're actually heading into general election territory here?
Well, I think actually, if you talk to most people, off the record in particular, that they kind of agree that's where we're heading, although no one can quite see exactly how you get there. It feels very much like it does need that. But, of course, a general election doesn't change the fundamentals.
I was going to say,
decide what we're going to do.
The manifestos for both Labour and Conservative would be, a bit of a mess, I would have thought, based on... You see the interviews, you participate in some of them yourself. It used to be fairly straightforward. You get a Conservative MP in, you get a Labour MP in, and they would obviously be on opposite sides of the argument, but you kind of don't know which opposite side the people are going to be on.
Well, I think actually you still do pretty much know. The complexity around this has been, particularly for the Labour Party. The Labour Party, the vast majority of Labour Party members and MPs are strong supporters of the European Union.
But you say that, Daniel. Yesterday morning at this time on another radio station, Barry Gardiner, who I realise is now was a former mayor of Cambridge, but more importantly is now a shadow trade secretary, he was saying that Labour was a Leave party. And I'm just wondering if you'd like to bring him back to Cambridge to explain that to people.
That is not the view of the vast majority of party members four of my colleagues.
But he's a senior, member of the party, and it gets confusing when somebody of his position in the party says something like that, because I know the conversations we've had with you. As you say, it's very different.
Yes, and I'm afraid this afflicts every single party. Even the Liberal Democrats have got a split with one of their MPs and breaking the whip to go on the Leave side. So this is a problem right across our political system at the moment. But I am absolutely convinced the vast majority of Labour Party members and Labour supporters, and that's the thing I think some of my colleagues in the Leave areas need to remember, is even in areas that voted Leave, the majority of Labour Party voters supported Remain. And I just think my message to my party is be more confident about this. I think if we were being more strongly Remain, we would actually be in a very strong position. But I understand some of my colleagues take a different view.
What's your best bet for Monday then, Daniel? What's going to happen? will one of those new indicative votes emerge, or will it be back to Theresa's deal followed by the removal vans outside Number 10?
Well, I think what we might find, actually, is this talk of the government trying to bring their her deal back for a final attempt either tomorrow or not. My guess is, in the end, we're going to have to go for more time, an extension, which probably means we'll be having to contest the European elections, which will be interesting.
Yeah, to say the least. As always, Daniel, thank you very much for your time this morning. Daniel Zeichner, MP for Cambridge. It's 21 after 8. Cambridge 1.